everyone, and welcome back to Starfellows, your favorite D&D podcast in a galaxy far, far away. I am your Dungeon Master, Rob, and with me, as always, are my friends, Hannah.
Hello.
Amelia.
Hello.
And Brennan.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. When we last left off, the crew was reunited with the Jedi Master Oogle, Maxi Mule, and a new Jedi that most of the party had not encountered before, Kobe Cornelius. Kobe Cornelius, of course, being the Jedi Master for L before their disappearance. And not faked death, but prolonged absence with the implication that they were dead. And it's all about the implication, as we know.
It's all about the implications.
That conversation revealed that L had lost a duel to an unknown Cathar agent on the planet Rhodia while searching for the Order of Bendu, after which his body and lightsaber disappeared into the thick wild jungle of the planet. Rama found the last recorded message from Rosie in which she wishes the party farewell as she's about to die and reveals that she had cut a deal with the Hive, and in particular Queen Meloronin, to replicate the power of the Orb of the One Mind into an artificial intelligence that she could then sell. She failed to do this, which led to the attack on her base of operations. So after all of that, the crew is at the Jedi Temple recuperating while the threat of the Hive and the Red Maw looms large over Coruscant. The last thing we did was have a little conversation with Cecil. I'm going to say that, like, since you guys have got to the Jedi Order, you've needed some time to, like, rest and recuperate. So I'm going to say, like, a few days has kind of gone by quietly while, like, L kind of lays low with Master Cornelius. I think Akala, like, definitely needed to spend some time in the hospital after the various
after almost injuries. Being cut in half by a lizard guy. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, for sure. And Rama, you're just kind of around the Jedi Temple as well. You just, like, bunked in a spare room and kind of, like, lay, like, you know, set up shop and low as well. So
like
where we're going,
I just like to think I'm just wandering around in full Mandalorian armor. Just
yeah, we did a whole side like spinoff show just for Rama in the Jedi Temple.
I can what's only going imagine, on there. Like, accidentally just knock over a sacred Jedi object or something, or spill coffee on a Jedi text.
Yeah. I think, like, definitely, like, so the first night that you get there, Rama, like, you're, like, wandering around, like, the mess hall, and there's a bunch of, like, little Jedi younglings and, like, other, like, kind of, like, Jedi around, kind of taking care of things. Oh. And Maxi comes up to you, like, looking at you kind of just dazed and says, are you looking for something, Mr. Byron?
So what do you call this place, anyway?
This would be the cafeteria.
No, like the building around it.
Oh, the Jedi Temple.
But y'all live here.
Yes.
You guys live at church?
Oh, it's a bit more complicated than just, like, living as a church. I mean, the ziggurat itself is, like, a highly important, like, mystical locale for the Jedi Order. It's our home and kind of the wellspring of our, like, knowledge and wisdom, and it's also, like, a seat of political power because it was reclaimed from the Sith at multiple points throughout history when there were invasions and counter-invasions of Coruscant. So it's not, like, just a church. It's kind of, like, a whole symbol of our order.
You lost me at a ziggurat. Can you start over there?
Right, so, like, a ziggurat is, and he just kind of, like, goes and explains, like, a lot of things that kind of go over your head completely.
Rob is, like, asleep under the helmet, but thank goodness for the helmet.
He kind of, like, is talking for a while, and he's like, oh dear, I completely lost him. Roma, wake up.
Right here.
Listen. Great chatting with you. I just wanted to let you know that we've cleared some things with security and with the council, and you will be allowed to stay temporarily, since you are apparently very integral to the operations of Okula and what she's doing right now, and also have been around Elle quite a bit, and so you might need to be called into questioning over the next few days. Anyway, so here is a visitor's badge, and just some paperwork I'll need you to fill out about, you know, just like name, date of birth, personal information, you know, known assets and associates, just so that the Jedi Order has a bit more information about who you are while you're on our ground. So he hands you just like a manila folder and like a plastic like clip-on visitor's badge. He doesn't really like
VIP,
know.
A con badge with a lanyard.
It's like, you know what, sometimes when you go to like a city hall or like a high school and they have, you put on the sticker with like a name and like.
Does it have a picture like a of just my helmet? Photo of you? I'm not sure how useful the helmet is, but I like to think it's just a Mandalorian helmet, like the shoulder up.
I mean, the helmet's useful because you're not going to take it off.
Yeah, it's true. It's not like there's a whole lot of Mandalorian helmets around the Jedi Temple, you know? Right, so he like kind of struggles on like where to actually like clip the badge onto, and then he's just like, you know what? Well, just like he like finds like a little like thing on your belt to put it on, to like clip it on like one of the leather like satchels you have. Right, well, and he kind of like,
thank you, Father Maxi. I'll tell you, it's I've always wanted to be a Jedi. Thank you for inducting me into your order.
Well, that did not happen, don't call me Father. I'm supposed to have family connection. Mr. Maxi is fine.
May the Force be alongside you. And I'm gonna walk away.
Was he fucking with me there? I think he was. Or maybe he's just an idiot. Anyway, well, so, Akala. You go to, you get transferred to the hospital wing, of the, like, Jedi Order facilities in order to have your sword wounds, your vibra sword wounds that you got across your chest while fighting Kazak, like, tended to actually. They were, like, very deep cuts. Like, they were, like, hitting, like, rib bones and such. And so needed, like, a bit more careful medical attention than could be provided just, like, on the battlefield or by, old Davy's little syringes, you know?
Yeah.
So you go to the hospital, and like much of like the next like day and a half is kind of a blur as you're given like various like anesthetics and drugs to help you like deal with the pain and the like discomfort of being operated on. But you get patched up relatively quickly, and during the night you are sleeping soundly in a hospital bed. Most of the equipment has been disconnected from you. You just have like an IV in. And you're sleeping soundly. Sol, your shield is like propped up against the wall fairly close by. It's, you know, just kind of Jedi common practice that even in the hospital, got to keep your light weapon nearby. You get woken up because you sense like a large presence looming over you. And as you kind of flutter your eyes open, you recognize the standing figure of your Jedi Master, Jedi Ugle. And he says in a very like low and quiet tone, "Get up, Akala. We have places to go."
Ugle, is everything okay?
Yes. Just follow me. And he like disconnects like the IV from your arm.
What the fuck? Okay. Yeah, I get up, I guess. Kind of have to. Don't really have a choice, do I?
He looks at your hospital gown for a second and is like, "Oh, right." And then he pulls out, like, a set of, like, essentially, like, traveling clothes, like, pants and, like, a shirt so that you can walk around freely. He also brought you, like, a pair of boots. And so he, like, turns around and, like, closes a curtain while you get changed. Yes. So once you guys are ready to go, he, like, leads you quietly out of the hospital. You hear, like, the faint, like, beeps and, like, mechanical noises of nursing drones, like, walking around and, like, other medical personnel that are on, like, the late shift. And you exit the medical wing out into the grounds of the Jedi Order's facilities. And it is like the dead of night. It is like a moonless, like cloudy night. It feels like it must be like 1 or 2 in the morning. And Master Oogway like leads you quietly across like the grass fields of the Jedi Order's facilities, heading north towards the mountains. It's like a warm, like spring night, and you can hear crickets and cicadas like sound off as you make your way to the edge of the like grounds of the temple. And there's like forest that starts to spring up, and you guys walk kind of quietly, just like over some woodland paths. During this, do you just walk silently and follow, or do you ask any questions?
Master, can I ask where we're going?
He turns to you and says, "We head to the mountains." And you guys continue to walk for, it takes about like 45 minutes, but eventually you make your way through the woods and you come to a stone stairway that is at the base of the Sangti Mountains, which like border and kind of surround the northern edge of the Jedi Order and the Jedi Temple. And you see that as you get to this stone path, lanterns that are on stone pikes at like various points on the path up the mountain all like light up with like this orange glow, like illuminating this mountain path. Your master gestures towards the stone path and says, "And now we climb." Go ahead and make me an athletics check just to see how well you're able to get up the mountain.
Ah, that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. you do quite well then. You like feel like a nice like spring in your step after like staying in the hospital, getting some R&R, getting a lot of like advanced medicine pumped into your system, giving you kind of this like somewhat artificial like spring in your step as you kind of regain your strength, and you just bound up these mountain steps. And so you, it takes about like a full like hour of like hard hiking up these mountainsides to get to the end of the path. The stones as you ascend the mountain get cragglier and cragglier, and the stairs look more cracked and worn. And you start to notice like less and less signs that people have been up here recently. Like at the beginning of the stone path, you'd see like markers on trees and like other things like signifying that it was well trodden. But now at the height of this, like it seems very ancient, and like the structures made here were very old. And you come to the mouth of a dark cave. Above the cave is a slab, a circular slab of stone that has been hoisted above the mouth of the cave by a series of ropes. And on the slab of stone is a carving of the symbol of the Jedi Order, which is like a central star with like kind of a lightsaber shape surrounded by wings. Oogway, after a few minutes, like catches up to you. He is a bigger frog, like Ithorian, so it takes him a little bit longer to make himself, like get himself up the mountain. But when he catches up to you, he is huffing a little bit and says, "Okay. Into the cave."
Okay, I go into the cave.
Okay, he does not follow you. You take a few steps into the cave, and you notice very quickly that this is just like a pitch black cave. And as you like cross the threshold of the open mouth of the cave, that threshold disappears behind you in darkness. Go ahead and make me a perception check.
I do have dark vision, just FYI.
Okay.
So you know. That is a 22 for perception.
22. You know that this cave is clearly attuned very powerfully with the Force, that there is like a lot of trickery going on in this cave. So with your night vision, you take like a few tentative steps into the cave. There is like no sound. you can't like hear anything that was like going on the outside, like no crickets, no more cicadas, and a like swirling like white mist kind of like glows in front of you, and then it solidifies into the shape of a tall Tegruden man in a striking three-piece like charcoal gray suit with a black tie. And he appears like very real from this like faint white mist, and he steps up to where a podium would be, and he leans on empty air, and he takes a deep breath and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I regret that I must stand before you today to discuss the very dire state of our community. Sheely has been attacked by an unknown force of hostile intruders. The early skirmishes have tallied death tolls in the hundreds of thousands. We desperately need support from the Republic, from each other, from anybody that we can contact." And then the mist swirls again. And Akala, you see a very familiar Tegruden woman. Your mother, Shua, struggling with a patient whose arms had been cut off by some sort of light weapon. And you see her, like, scrambling over a table in an invisible operating room, trying and failing to save the life of what appears to be this wounded pilot. The mist swirls again, and a new figure steps into view. And you see yourself in heavy battle armor with soul in your hand glowing not like a typical like warm orange golden glow, but a wrathful crimson. And in the other hand is a wicked looking cross-guarded saber, and there is like blood on your boots, and you look like you are like worn from a day of combat. And you say in this mist, "We can save them. Protect your parents. No one we know or care about has to get hurt. We just need to leave. Abandon restrictions and rules, and abandon the order. Then we can do what we want, and no one has to know."
I'm gonna back towards the exit.
Okay.
Can I exit?
You cannot seem to find the exit. Like, you, like, start searching all around, like, where you think it might have been, and all you find is just hard stone.
Do I have soul with me?
You do have soul with you.
Okay, I'm gonna turn it on.
Okay. So now instead of just, like, the harsh, like, red glow in the cave, there is also the, like, warm, like, comforting sunlight glow of soul. So now, like, the two, like, radiant colors coming from these light weapons are, like, clashing in the middle of the cave and kind of, like, creating this, like, warbling effect of color, like, at the halfway point between you. Your shadow form of yourself says,
"Would you cling so close to something that's caused you so much pain? They're waiting out there for us, Akka. Our parents. They need our help."
I'm gonna throw soul at the projection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the save that the an enemy has to make to do that again?
I mean, it's just like a +6 to hit or +5 to hit.
Okay. So yeah, roll to hit.
That's a 10. Probably not. 10, I mean, it's projection, so
this
maybe.
Yeah, guys.
ten doesn't hit. Yeah, so like you throw soul and like a shadow version of yourself like imitates your movements basically and throws their own shield and dodges yours. Okay, so they're definitely gonna hit. You're gonna take Okay, so you take 4 psychic damage. So you, like, feel, like, in your mind the lightsaber hit your arm and, like, open up fresh wounds, but you're taking psychic damage. It's not you like know on an intuitive level that the actual burn wounds are not there. The swirling figure in front of you says,
"We're just the same, Akka. We're the same as we ever were when we were learning how to craft speeches and save people's lives. The Jedi Order wants to restrict our talents, not improve them. When there's people dying on our home planet, who can think about rules at a time like that? You can take L with us, too."
I'm gonna throw my shield again.
Do it.
Ah, that's a nat 20. So 25.
Nat 20. Definitely does it. Very good nat 20. So you're gonna hit, I want you to narrate this for me. What is it like when you hit this thing and dispel this, like, shadow of yourself?
I think it's pretty clear that this vision is definitely doing what it's probably supposed to be doing and hitting a nerve with her. So just in both anger and anxiety, she just fucking turns fight or flight on, and for her that's fight right now, and just whips Soul at her, like, straight down the middle.
Amazing. Yeah, so you, I'd like to think it, like, comes, like, very quickly after L is name dropped. It's just like, you could bring L with us. Immediately throwing Soul again. You cut this, like, vision of yourself in half, and, like, a physical body does seem to, like, fall forward and kind of, like, smolder with a lightsaber cut. And as the smoke dissipates, you see, like, the faces of all the people that, like, could tempt your emotions away from the Jedi Order, like, flash across it. Like, you see, Joru, your father, Shua, your mother, you see L, you see your face too, and then you see the smoke disappear and the cave illuminates. Torches light up on the sides of the cave, and you see at the back, like, end of the cave, like, you see that this place, like, isn't all that big, but at the back end of the cave you see, like, a rotting ladder that leads up into a trapdoor.
All right. I mean, if that's the only way to go, that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Okay. So you climb up the ladder. Give me a strength check to open the trapdoor.
15.
15 does it. Yeah, you are able to easily, like, just, like, like, push up really hard, opens it. You climb up the ladder and you find yourself in, like, a stone hallway that, like, goes on for about 30 feet, but then opens up into a, like, courtyard at, like, the zenith of this mountaintop. When you walk forward into this open area, you see that, like, hidden in these mountain peaks, there is this, like, large flat stone area with a monument in the center. And around this monument are, like, Stonehenge-like rock formations that have, like, long since crumbled away from what they were originally, like, placed as and, like, were trying to represent. And in the center of this, like, circular monument is a small, floating, elderly woman who you recognize as Master Grimwald. Master Grimwald, of course, is missing one of her arms and is wearing a long hooded shawl that trails down and, like, brushes lightly against the ground. So she's floating with her legs crossed about 6 feet up from the ground. And you hear her voice, like, resonate in this, like, stone, like, holy site. Says,
"Come forward, Akla. You've done very well."
And, like, opens her arms out to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna approach her. What is that cave?
That was the Cave of Wills. To advance your place as a Jedi, acolytes are expected to overcome 3 trials. You have passed all 3. You have survived an ordeal of flesh, several times, actually. Most recently at the hands of a Trandoshan's greatsword. You have endured a trial of the wills, resisting the temptations of the cave, the reflections of its deepest desires, and you've also resisted the will of a very powerful force object in the Ring of Crimson Life, I hear. And you have also demonstrated yourself as a capable agent in your work investigating the Red Maw, the artifacts, and in the slaying of Vel'Zarakiad. For your dedicated service, your unshakable resolve, and most importantly, the quality of your heart, you have been promoted to the rank of Jedi Knight. And as you kind of like come close, she gestures for you to kneel, and she pulls out her own light weapon, which is a like very slender but like very long, like rapier shaped lightsaber, so like very thin, and she does the thing where she touches each shoulder with, I mean, not actually touches it because that would burn you, but
right.
but knights you with her light rapier. It shines a very like lovely and like pleasant powdered pink. And she puts her light weapon away and says, "With your promotion, you are also being inducted formally into the Order of the Sentinels. And with that, I present to you your mantle." And she presents to you a like hood and cloak, very similar in style to hers, although like less long and flowy, because you can't just like float perpetually off the ground like the Grand Master can. And she presents to you, yes, a flowing like dark gray, like base colored mantle with orange and gold like swirling patterns stitched into it, so that it kind of like is evocative of like solar flares stitched into your mantle of this robe. This item is called the Mantle of the Enomic, and you already know what this item does, so you can look it up in Star Wars 5e. But it is a powerful force-attuned object that allows you to use force-empowered self options with charges from the mantle instead of your force points. So it's just a nifty little thing. And at higher levels, it does other fun things. So you are gifted this mantle. You are knighted. And Master Grimwald also like rings a small bell that she produces, and you feel like this sound of the bell like reverberate across the entire like Sangti mountain range as it echoes along, and you feel within yourself a swirling sense of pride as you have passed the tests in order to be promoted to the next stage of Jedi. You have done well this night, but I do not mean to keep you out longer than you need be given your injuries. So, Master Ugle will accompany you back to the Jedi Temple. And Master Ugle, like, appears from out, like, of one of the rocks and, like, looks very happy and says, "Yay, congratulations, Akka, we're very proud of you." And kind of golf claps for you lightly. Wonderful. And that's the night.
Amazing.
So you guys are able to head back without issue and go to sleep. The next morning, L, you get woken up quite early by your Jedi Master. I take it you're still crashing on Kobe's couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Zonked out.
So he wakes you up, and he says, "Hey, L, so bad news. The council's holding a meeting this afternoon to discuss your status within the Jedi Order."
Yeah, kind of figured that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, pretty predictable. They're gonna discuss, like, kind of what the options are. It's been a while since we've had to deal with a situation like this, so it's probably gonna be a lot of arguing. And he kind of just, like, looks, like, very annoyed at this whole thing. You can tell that he's just like not a fan of the council at the moment. So anyway, this afternoon, they're going to hold a meeting. All seven of the council members are going to be there. I'll be there to sort of represent you, but mostly they're going to want to know what you were up to while you were gone from the Jedi Order, why you didn't come back. They're probably going to try to, like, figure out the state of your soul. You know, kind of like normal fact-finding stuff. And then they'll make a decision. So try to do your best. I know you will. Let's get breakfast.
Before that.
Yeah.
What are the possible outcomes?
Well, it's kind of a range. The Jedi Order, you know, very long-standing institution, has had to deal with deserters in different ways across different eras. For a long time, when the Jedi and Sith were, like, actually at war, like, desertion meant death, because it was presumed that if you were leaving the Order, you were joining the Sith. That's not really the state of affairs right now, so I find, like, execution probably isn't that likely. But like other banishment off the planet is on the table. They could give you an option, to like try to like rejoin the Order, but that's probably unlikely if you don't want to be here. They could also just like imprison you. That's not unheard of either, but yeah, like probably not going to kill you.
Cool. Yeah. Let's go get breakfast.
Great. So after that disquieting conversation, I'm going to say that you guys just like go to the cafeteria, have breakfast. Akala, this is the morning after your whole experience. So I'm going to say that you have freedom over your like position in the Jedi Order right now. I'm going to say that Rama, you as well. So where are you two kind of at this morning?
I feel like Rama's still just wandering around the Jedi Temple, like on a field trip, being like, that looks cool. These people really do believe in that random force. Anyway, I feel like I just run into L. Is after wandering, just doing circles around the temple, if L's up and about, that is.
Yeah, I'll say that like you kind of like take a couple laps around the Jedi Order. Definitely like wearing down the treads of your boots a little bit, just kind of like uncomfortably shifting from place to place. I'm going to say that you eventually end up in the cafeteria and see L and Master Cornelius getting some light breakfast. How about you, Han?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go about it like a normal day. Nothing's different. Everything's good.
You wearing your new mantle?
I mean, probably, like, it's, like, armor, right? So, probably not, unless I know I'm going somewhere.
Gotcha.
So, no. But I think Akala's in a good mood. I think she is very lifted for the first time in a long time.
Question. What's the vibe in the cafeteria for Al?
Sorry, like, are you asking, like, what the general vibe is in the cafeteria, or, like, what is the vibe in relation to L?
What is the vibe in relation to L? I assume that in some ways it probably changed when L, like, came. Not, like, for everyone, because some people are probably like, I don't know who the fuck that is, but, like, someone had to notice.
There's definitely, like, staff and, like, more established Jedi that like remember you like dying and leaving and coming back, and like the like now that the council has a meeting scheduled, like people kind of know like, oh, that Jedi acolyte like died and then kind of didn't ever come back even though they were still alive. So there's a lot of people that are like sneaking glances at you and looking at you a bunch, and kind of like whispering to other cohorts kind of about like, oh, did you see that, like, tweet? Like, yeah, that's, like, L, right? Yeah, they were kind of dead, weren't they? Why didn't they come back?
Intimidating eye contact. They get glares. Not even, like, glares, but, like, a I know you're talking about me kind of thing.
You should
be more discreet.
It is coming from, like, all angles, though, so, like, if you're, like, mean bugging, you're, like, kind of, like, looking around at everybody, like...
Not, like, constantly, but, like, every now and then, like, if someone is, like, a little bit... Like, I think, like, maybe once, like, someone talks, like, a little bit loudly, because it's, like, a thing everyone's talking about, and I give, like, one glance so everyone knows that I'm hearing them, and then it, like, hushes down for a little bit before building back up again, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, like, as everybody kind of, like, joins the table, and you all, like, kind of sit down with your breakfast.
How was everyone's evening, huh?
Fine.
Good.
Good.
What made it good? I thought you were in the hospital.
I took a night trip with, my master last night, and it was pretty productive.
Jedi a weird man. Well, I'm glad it was a good evening.
Can I insight that? Check that?
Yeah, you can insight check it.
Think nothing of it. I'm like sneaking, spooning eggs beneath my helmet to eat. Just like, that's not weird. Anyway.
That's a 22.
22?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think, Han? Do you think that passes? Do you think calls?
22.
I think, because was Elle ever a Jedi Knight? I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you did make Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I think so. I think we did say that. You were like still like early on in like being a knight.
I think I was. Wasn't this like my first big mission after being knight? I think that's what we decided on.
Yes. Yeah, it was. So you were still going places with your master, but it's more like the dynamic in like the second Star Wars prequel where like Obi-Wan and Anakin are like are partners basically.
Yeah.
Less than like master and apprentice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I think you would know exactly what's going on then. Yeah, I don't say anything about it. But I know.
Master Cornelius, like, sips his coffee and says, congratulations on making Jedi Knight, Akala. Very big achievement.
Thank you, Master Cornelius.
You're welcome.
Hey! They gave you a promotion.
Of sorts, yes.
So you're, like, sick. So, now you can do even more Force stuff or something.
It's mostly just a sort of status thing, but it's a triumph over will and physicality and other things.
Well, I'm glad someone's career is advancing. Anyway, may you be with the Force.
Thank you, Rama.
Definitely sounds like you know the right saying, but are messing it up on purpose. Is that what's going on here?
If it were, just don't tell Maxie. It's been a kind of a thing.
Yeah, Cornelius, I found it's best you just kind of just let Rama do what Rama does.
Hmm. Okay. Well, if it's messing with Maxie, then like, yeah, I'll keep it quiet.
Up top.
Yeah, sure, why not? He gives you a high five, that's fine. It's not like a big, like, over-the-top high five. It's actually, like, more of, like, a, like, sideways, like, kind of, like, just at table level, like, knuckle bump, where he's like, yeah, right on. Like, so after, like, you guys kind of, like, get situated in, like, start eating, Master Cornelius kind of, like, catches you up a little bit on the state of the world. We didn't really get a chance to talk about this when we first all reunited, but there's been some big level changes going on in the world of Coruscant. The Power and Lights District has been completely quarantined and declared momentarily unlivable because of the Red Maw's activities there. A dark purple mist has sprouted up in the past few days that has covered the zone and a hazy fog, which we interpreted as being dangerous, obviously. We can't just let people live in a force-induced fog that could steal their brains. Sounds like the people that didn't make it out in time have been possessed. We do know that there's cures for that, but until we can kind of clear the problem, so to speak, it's hard for us to really do anything about that. So that's problem one, is dealing with that, dealing with the Red Maw retrieving the crown. Several earthquakes have also been striking the planet recently, not as big as when the lightning strike happened a few weeks ago, but registering high on the Richter scale, and we're worried that the crystal at the center of the Power and Lights District is unstable because of whatever the Red Maw are doing down there. So that's kind of been priority number one for the Jedi Order, is figuring out how to maneuver that. The Hive satellite is still orbiting Syntax 3, which is part of the reason why we can't just commit to one option right now, because we know with the size of their satellite and the movement we can register from inside it, there is quite a lot of firepower on that thing. It's basically its own small space fleet floating in our upper atmosphere. We're worried that as soon as we commit hard to solving one or the other of these two problems, the other side's gonna make a move. So we can't have all our units in space if the Red Maw is about to do something drastic in the Power and Lights District, and it's hard for us to commit to the Power and Lights District without taking our resources away from monitoring the satellite around Syntax 3. So that's kind of where we are right now in terms of big picture problems. Any questions so far?
Yeah, would it be possible to address both problems simultaneously? Maybe calling some backup from a different of your Jedi friends, different planet?
Well, so that's part of the problem, is the Jedi's resources are spread out throughout the whole galaxy. Right now, there are several Jedi Masters here that could deal with the problem. We've yet to decide what the best course of action is, given our information. Likely, we need to, well, I don't know. I'm not really in charge of many of these decisions anymore. But if I were to do this, I would have a small, discreet team of relatively unknown personnel infiltrate one area or the other, while the bulk of the Jedi's forces distract the other side, with the hopes that the smaller team would be able to quickly deal with one problem so that the bulk of the Jedi's forces could then converge on the other.
All right, Akla, El, I say we could go find them a team somewhere.
Yeah, if only we knew someone, like a group of relatively, you know, unknown people who had experience with either one of these things. Wouldn't even have to be fully briefed, because they already know the situation.
My thoughts exactly. We'll keep our eyes out.
It would be convenient if such a team existed.
Right.
Well, also, it's really unfortunate that we don't know anybody. And you see, like, your master, like smile, and, like, you see, like, lines on his face appear there that, like, look like have not been exercised in a while, where it's like, oh, like, this, like, smile, like, might be, like, difficult. But he's, like, is very happy to just be a part of this banter with Al and the crew.
Seeing Kobe smile makes Al smile. You missed him.
I'm all about levity and such, but before I forget, is there any sort of master list of refugees who made it out of the quarantine zone before it got shut down? Or the dead? There's a... I have an old friend there. Emphasis on old. Like, old.
Let me just...
No, don't roll for that. They're just fine. We're worried about old Davey, Rob. We're worried about old Davey.
Yeah, I know. I picked up on it.
For old Davey. Old Davey and his beautiful wife got out there perfectly intact.
I don't think he rolled for it. I think he's just trying to be mean to us. Rob has done nothing but be mean. No, I'm kidding.
Bully.
B- bully my characters by putting them in situations.
I don't need to emphasize this further, but I'll tell you. I'm used to looking at everything with a dollar sign, and people are used to looking at me as a pile of guns, which is fair. Mm-hmm. But he looked at me as something else, and it'd mean the world to me if we could find him.
Well, from what I hear, the reports have said that a decent amount of the population was able to get out of the Power and Lights District before things got too crazy. I think that the Order and the general government of Coruscant has been trying to keep track of refugees. We've got some pretty complex and like robust systems in place for people that get displaced because of natural disaster or, galactic situations. Crazy shit happens pretty often around here. What I'm saying is that I'll check.
Thank you.
Did you have a name?
Wait, what was his full name? Didn't we learn it when he was like he was vouching for me on trial?
I think so. I don't remember.
We did.
This is why I needed my notes.
Somebody tell me what his real name is.
Did you really write his full name?
Yes, I did. I remember exactly.
Hold up, I'll pull up the episode.
No, it was something weird, like Octavius Alexander or something.
Yeah,
like
I know.
That.
It's like he has like five names. Hold on, let me.
I wrote pull it down.
I don't trust your notes to be that.
My notes have the most important information. I don't need things about plot. I don't need things about use. I need things like Davy's full name and how gay people are being.
Yeah. David Alexander Octavius Red.
See?
I told you.
Like, Octavius Rex, yeah.
Yeah, I knew David it was Octavius Alexander Rex because I wrote Octavius it down Rex. In my memory.
So, oh my God. King David... No, Alexander the Great. Octavius as in the birth name of Caesar Augustus, and Rex as in Latin for king.
David Alexander the Eighth King, I think, is kind of like what that roughly comes out to, but...
Wow, okay. David Alexander Octavius Rex is his name. His wife's name is Old Debbie.
Okay, he like takes that down in a note. This guy sounds important. Anybody I should know? Is he like a politician or like a foreign dignitary?
I'll be totally honest. We have no idea what he is.
I mean, I do. He's just a member of the community. A little weird, a little strange, but pretty well respected. Has everyone's best interest at heart. A little bit of an anarchist, but you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
We vibed, as you could say.
You vibed, okay. I'll look into this man with apparently amazing vibes who's community oriented. Great. About T minus 2 hours until the council meeting, so maybe we should get going. Actually, if you two could just, like, hang around, because they might want to talk to you guys as well.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released Season 4, Episode 33, and I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular... like story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do, and then we're going to have a podcast postmortem wrap up, whatever. So as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season four questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably gonna like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah. I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And yeah, next week's going to be the very last story episode, season four finale. And then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are going to happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're going to try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick. But if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah. That's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But... yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
So we're going to say that we'd like cut a few hours into time, and we're going to move to the council room of the Jedi Council. So there's seven members of the Jedi Council. To be on the council, you have to be voted on by the other members, and you have to have attained the rank of master. So not every master is a council member, but all the council members are masters. So El, you're led into this like large circular room with like seven large, like very cozy, kind of like egg-shaped chairs, where like each Star one Wars. Has a different,
huh? Just like Star Wars.
yeah, just like Star Wars. Weren't the chairs egg-shaped in the prequels? Weren't they like these goofy, like yeah, big kind
said,
of like,
that's,
yeah.
That's why I
yeah.
said just like Star Wars. I see it yeah. in my mind. This is just like Star Wars.
Yeah, the big glass windows in the center. Like, so you walk in and you can like stand like in this like center floor.
Do
area,
I get a chair like, and do I just have to stand the whole time?
No, there's only seven of them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's reasonable, but I just wanted to know.
Master Cornelius kind of like, leads you into like the center like well of this council room, and he steps like back into the right. He's wearing like his formal mask and his formal robes. And you see like in the very center is Master Grimwald, who is also like floating above her chair.
Show off.
She does not fuck with the ground or walking. Which is honestly some like real queen shit to just like turn 150 and be like, walking sucks. and to her left is Master Oogle. And then to Master Oogle's left is Bronze Beckham, the master at arms. On the last chair on that side is a Rodian Jedi Master who you recognize as Master Wynn. On the other side is an older Arcanian woman who has like all white hair, white eyes. Arcanians are like four-fingered humanoid adjacent species that tend to be a little bit taller and a little bit shiesty. They're like the real like Star Wars version of like elves to humans.
Yeah, that's how they sound hot.
Yeah, these little like cute actual humans. We're like the better humans, the older humans. So that's like kind of the Arcanian's vibe. Then to the other side of her is a Jedi Master who's a Nautilin, whose name is Master Plak. And then the final chair is taken up by a Duros that's actually like wearing like a like large like sun-brimmed hat that's like evocative of the American West. And he has like red glowing eyes. Like Duros are kind of reptilian creatures. He has like blue skin.
We love a nod to the genre.
Yeah. yes. Yeah, so those are the council members that you're dealing with here. Your master says, I present to the council former Jedi acolyte and former knight, L, who has returned after a leave of absence after being lost in the jungles of Rhodia.
Very good. Thank you, Master Cornelius. We call the council to order to deliberate on the fate and status of erstwhile member L, dearly and formally departed acolyte of the Guardian, the Guardian Order, yes. We are here to decide what place L has within the Jedi Order going forward. These circumstances are highly unusual, but desertion of the Jedi Order is not a matter of first impression before the council. Traditional punishments are varied, from banishment to execution, absolvement to entanglement, and outright imprisonment. As Grand Master, I motion that we move to question L on their whereabouts and intentions while away from the Order.
You see, like, a series of, like, other masters second the motion.
I nominate that Master Bronze Beckham do the Inquisition.
Bronze Beckham, again, this, like, tall, very, like, stout and bulky human man with a handlebar mustache, clears his throat. good to see you again.
Likewise.
What happened when you died?
Right. All right, so I fell off a cliff. I don't really know how long I was at the bottom of it. There's a lot of my memory that's not quite there. I know I was on Rhodia several months. Some of the locals, I guess, nursed me back to health for a while. I remember coming back to Coruscant, and I think that's about when my memory started, like, really, really forming again. And then, when I got back here, I saw that I'd been dead for quite some time, and I ended up with Power and Lights, and I was just, you know, gonna sort of sit for a while, try and figure out my thoughts for a day or two. And then a day or two became a week or two. And then I was just there, and I started helping people in the community and all sorts of things. And, well, by the time, you know, I realized probably should have said something, it had been a while, and I kind of got used to being dead, I guess.
There's like a set of like murmurs and like noises of like interrogative disapproval kind of like ripple through the Jedi Masters. The Arcanian woman like looks like who has like a very like kind of straight backed posture. She says, And why exactly did you not come back to the Jedi Order as soon as you were able to?
I mean, like, I figured y'all had left me to die, so it just seemed like it was easier if I stayed dead. And if I'm being honest, there's not a whole lot of agency in the same way, you know, when you're raised in the Jedi Order. I just, you know, from a young age, I was here, and you're given a path, and I'm not interested in, like, the dark side or, like, power or anything, so I just followed the path that was laid out for me, and I realized that even though I technically had a choice, I really hadn't made a decision for my own, and this was the one chance I got to do that.
Okay. Roll me a persuasion check.
What is that?
Is it an 8?
It's an 8.
16.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Persuasion. Wait, persuasion might be the one that I'm worse at. Yeah. God. 13. Wait, hold on. Wait, let me see what my force personality does. Maybe I get something with that. What do I get with that?
Jedi mind tricking the council.
It's not Jedi mind tricking. It's just my natural. I am a natural radiant presence. No, it's a 13.
13. As you say, like, these things about, like, never having, like, a real choice and, like, lacking agency within the Jedi Order, you see that, like, you see, like, the Nautilin and the Nautilin and the Arcanian woman, like, both, like, kind of, like, look disapprovingly. Like, they're just, like, not really buying it. And Bronn says, so you say that you feel like you were abandoned and left for dead by the Order. How do you account for the fact that you evaded detection on Rhodia for close to 4 months while we searched?
I really don't know. I don't have any memory of that. I didn't know what was going on. I figured, this is the Jedi Order, you know? How do you account for that fact?
The Grand Master reaches out a hand, her only hand. It's like this like withered old lady's hand, and she like closes her eyes and like reaches out to you, and says, this is very strange. How do we account for this? We have considerable resources, and yet you vanished off of the face of the map in a jungle in Rhodia. Master Wynn, you're familiar with the Rhodian jungles. How likely is it to disappear in them when being searched for by a platoon of Force-sensitive trackers? Master Wynn can't speak Galactic Basic out loud because as a Rhodian, he doesn't have the right biology for it. So he just communicates in his own language, which is then like retranslated back to you guys. Does anybody know Rhodian?
I was Mandela. There for like 4 months, even though I don't remember it. Do I like subconsciously, did I learn the language? Were people just talking at me?
That would make sense.
You on an actual mission, you'd have, translation, like, materials with you.
Okay.
But, it's... You might not necessarily have that, like, in the current situation.
That's fair.
So, the Rhodian... It's, Rhodians have, a weird, snoot kind of face that has, it's almost like a trunk sort of deal. So it's, a series of kind of,
Just give it your best shot.
So, the Rhodian... speaks out loud, and it's a very kind of throaty, this is dumb because they I'm looking at the dialogue in the movie and they just speak normal language, but it's just not Galactic Basic, but definitely can be articulated. Anyway, I'm fucking rambling.
I'm just being annoying.
No, it's okay. The Rhodian says, and And Master Grimwald says, I see. Well, that was the mission, to research the Order of the Bendu. It is possible that El found it and was concealed by their members. There should not be large groups of native Rhodians deep in the heart of the jungle, but an order trying to escape notice, that is not out of the question. Master Grimwald is going to try to, like, search your mind, real quick. Is this something that you would, like, oppose?
Honestly, Master Grimwald seems kind of like a homie. So I'm gonna let it happen.
Just relax your mind for a second, child. Yes. So what she's searching for is, like, are you, like, up to no good, or were you just, like, really just, like, taking an opportunity to, like, live a somewhat normal life, like, outside of the order? She rolled a 12. Like, what do you think she finds? Like, kind of on the surface of your brain.
Yeah, I think on the surface, it's, like, I think there's been so much time that Elle has actively avoided trying to think about any of this, that there's probably, like, some conclusions and thoughts that are coalescing now as he's trying to, like, defend himself to the council. But, like, yeah, it just, it, with a 12 and, like, the surface level, it is genuinely, like, a, like, Elle was very hurt and confused, but also, like, felt a little bit of freedom. And, you know, what they chose to do with that freedom is he just, like, went around and fucking helped people in the slums of the Power and Lights District. Like, it's very clear that Elle wasn't, like, going on some sort of weird power fantasy or trying to cover anything up. I think probably surface level, Elle is also just thinking about the Bendu now, because he's not, like, great at, like, espionage and stuff, and is just like, what does this mean? When the Order of the Bendu can, like, evade the Jedi, what does that mean? Blah, blah, blah. And so it's probably just a little bit of that.
Yes.
That's a lot for 12.
Elle is
I'm just thinking of the
an
the
open
Minecraft.
Book. Yeah, I know. I was, like, hearing Minecraft villager in my head. I mean, it's a lot for 12, but also Elle isn't, like, trying to oppose it.
Yeah.
I've done nothing wrong at all, except for maybe... I feel bad about Kobe. That's the only thing I'll think I did wrong. There's a lot of regret there.
The master, the headmaster of the order, like, retracts her hand, like, puts it back into kind of, like, her furling robes. And says, I am convinced that this child is not attempting to abandon the order so much as have independence away from it. I don't see that the ideals of the order have been abandoned within your mind, Elm. From what I can see, you've spent the past few years helping your community on Coruscant. And have also killed some things with a lightsaber, but, you know, Velt's had it coming, for sure. I'm convinced that we should take the punishment of execution off the table. Motion to vote on taking execution off as one of the possible punishments. There's a series of seconds. I'm just gonna roll here to see how the vote goes.
What if you rolled that one though?
Basically the room split 50-50. So
whose ass do I have to kick? Like, what the hell, man?
That's a kind of a gamble, like, workplace wise. You imagine if they don't kill Elle, and then you're, like, sitting next to them in the cafeteria, like,
yeah, it's definitely
the opposite of execution is not like, yeah, I mean, the opposite of execution is not you're hired, it's like probably something else. So let's see, like, the grandmaster, Oogle, Bronze. They all, like, vote in favor of, like, staying in execution. Master Guinevere Titus, who's the Arcanian, Master Plaque, the Nautilin, and the Rodian, Master Nguyen all vote in favor of keeping execution, with Master John Marshall, the Duros, abstaining in the vote.
Okay, well, Master Marshall, you're going to have to cast a vote.
The Duros, like, looks at you, El, and says,
what's up, kid?
Huh?
What's up? What's your deal?
I don't really know at this point. I haven't really thought that far ahead. If as much as I would rather not get executed, I'd rather die than go in prison, so.
Right on. If you were able to walk out of here today, what would you do?
God. Well, I think we first gotta handle that shit with... We have to handle those things.
Oh, there's like a whole like round of gasps around the Jedi Council.
We had to probably handle all that stuff with the purple smoke and the power and lights district. I think it might be problematic to stay around. I don't know how y'all would feel about me being near, so I might just leave and find some place to settle down, kind of do what I did here, just somewhere else in the universe. I don't know, maybe go back and try and find family. Other people like me.
He votes in favor to stay the execution after hearing your response.
Wonderful. Well, execution has been stayed. Now it is time to decide what other punishment we shall levy against our deserter here. Can I hear a proposal? And the Duros, who was just talking to you,
I propose that we grant El their wish. Send them straight to the Power and Lights District to sort out the mist. Send a few operatives of our own, and then come to a more concrete decision about what to do later.
Okay, all in favor of voting for that.
Yeah, all right. This is, solves the problem, sure.
All this like, parliamentary procedure. Then. All right, guys, who thinks that sounds good?
Listen, the Jedi play fast and loose with their rules all the fucking time.
That's true.
I mean, not really. It's just like the council has to decide one way or another, like what to do with you. Master Guinevere and the Nautilin look pissed, and they vote not to let you like go out. but we're just going to like do one more roll just to make sure there's like not any surprises. Yeah, we're good to go. So
thank God.
The Grandmaster, Master Ugle, Bronze Beckham, and John Marshall all vote to basically table this discussion until we can deal with the Power and Lights District. Since that's what you wanted to do anyway, they're going to send you on a team to go handle that.
Right. So while you, in the meantime, you will not have access to any of the materials or facilities of the Jedi Order without supervision. You are not a Jedi anymore. Your status as a Jedi has been formally revoked. And once the matter at hand has been dealt with, we'll discuss what your future is in relation to the Jedi Order once again. Likely, you will be removed from the planet as a medium middle ground for leaving the Jedi Order. Dismissed, and you guys are taken out of the Jedi Council. I think Rama and Akala are probably like waiting outside.
Hey, how do you think it's going in there?
I don't know. I know there's a few wild cons sitting on that council, so it's hard to tell.
You don't really think they'll kill him, do you?
I don't know. It's happened in the past, but I would hope the people running this order wouldn't be so cruel.
Yeah, a few minutes later, Elle comes out, so I'll just let you guys have a conversation for a while.
Oh, I don't say anything when I come out. I just walk out, kind of.
I'm gonna get some coffee.
Well, how did it go?
Yeah, went fine. Heading to the Power and Lights District to go figure out what's going on there and put a stop to it, and then we have another one of these little things.
So they haven't made a decision?
No. Execution's off the table. They're leaning towards some things, but probably not worth worrying about till after it's set.
Right.
Yeah. Clay Cornelius follows you out and is basically like, well, went better than could have. I guess what we were joking about at the breakfast table is going to be the reality. It sounds like we're going to the Power and Lights District.
Wait, are you coming with us?
Yet to be seen. Do you want me to?
I mean, if you want to.
You
don't have to if you don't want to. I was just wondering.
Let's let these plans develop. The council's just decided that you're going to do something, but no plans have been
right.
Really ironed out. So we'll put a pin in that for now. Rama, you have an errand to take care of, buddy.
Can I go do that? Do we have time?
Yeah, we have time to do that.
Can I go get it, please?
Okay, I'm gonna get it. So I'm gonna go.
I'm probably gonna need to like hitch a ride.
Akuma L. Now that I'm officially a Jedi, I'm gonna hold up my visitor's pass with like the black and white Mandalorian helmet. Do I get to borrow a speeder or something? Somebody could drive it back. We could carpool.
I think Bronze could get that arranged for you.
Excellent. Or Bronze could drive me. I mean, the guy drives me crazy, but I might need some tips on, weapons and stuff.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, so Bronze is just coming out of the council meeting, but you could, like, go to, like, his, like, armory and, like, talk to him about, like, trying to, like, rent a vehicle or something.
All right. Hey, Bronze, I got a... First off, how's it going?
Hi. Mr. Rama Viron, is that right?
That's the one. Yeah, I was arrested and put on trial here not too long ago, and good friends with Akula. Not like, you know, enough association to where I'd smear her name with my criminal record. Just good also friends with Elle. But not... You know, maybe, never mind. I don't think it, I'm not supposed to be here. I don't know Jedi. Oh, that's even worse.
We're only a crazy chat.
Fucking idiot.
roll me a charisma check.
Charisma? This raw yeah. charisma?
Yeah.
else? Okay. All right, boys, that's a 2 on the die, plus 3 charisma, that's a 5.
As you kind of keep, like, he was, like, with you at the beginning, and then you, like, completely lost him the more you kept talking, and he kind of, like, ruffles his mustache and says, great to see you. I'm very busy, so I'm just gonna get going here. And he, like, goes to, like, move and, like, do something else and starts walking away from you.
Hey, but before you go, can I borrow a ship? Just a speeder.
A bike. Speeder.
Bike works. I could load it in. I got a Razor Crest I got to pick up.
Roll me a persuasion check.
If I'm in the room, can I, like, give him a little nod?
Oh, yeah, I guess you could, yeah.
Advantage if Akula helps just roll, for me.
Yeah, Akula's going to give you the help advantage by looking at Bronze. Like,
thank
please.
Goodness, because the first time I rolled a 5, which was an 8. So I rolled an 18, that's a plus 3, that is a 21.
He looks at you, Rama, and he looks at, like, the hand cannon pistol that you have, and he says, Yeah, you could borrow like a speeder bike for a little bit if you need to go pick up your ship. Mind if I look at that weapon that you have there?
I don't really give out the weapons, part of the religious thing. You know how you guys say, like, would you like some force with that? You know, it's like my thing is I don't give my weapons or take my hat, like, helmet off, so.
Right, so I'm not going to respect your religion if you don't respect my religion. Let's see how that kind of works. There's, like, a reciprocal respect that needs to be accomplished there before you can really, like, attack my beliefs. And then absolutely. Yours, you know?
Yeah, Hobbesian ideal, right. Anyway, so where can I find that ship?
He like force picks up like a set of like keys. It's not really like even a set. It's just like a small like singular key. And he points you over towards like a very like shitty like old speeder bike that like is able to get off the ground but is like topping out like well below the speed limit for Coruscant. Says, yeah, why don't you take that one? That one we don't really care about. Hey, it's just like this like old rust bucket.
Well, you did do me a favor here, and I'm gonna hand him the hand cannon and say, I never won what was much one for rules anyway, I guess. But, sorry for insulting you.
It's okay. I just want to take a look at it. He, like, takes the weapon, and it's, like, so heavy. He's like, Jesus.
I know. It's a two-handed blaster. Hand blaster. But I don't know. It's like you just put it in Microsoft Word and then took the quarter and drag it out to, like, big in it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a big pistol. I got it. And
huge.
I just like the idea of, like, you hand this, like, oversized weapon to this weapon master. Like, it's a big weapon. He's like, yeah, I know. he takes it and says, this is kind of a monster of a pistol. Do you mind if I just, like, kind of, like, dissect this and take a look at it while you're gone? I'll give it back. I just am curious about how this is working.
You have my permission. Sure. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to jump on the speeder and go like 10 miles an hour. I think this thing runs on gasoline.
It does.
From the dark ages. Alright, so I'm gonna head on down to pick up the Razor Crest.
Yeah, so you got like the message before Rosie died, on your communicator about like go to Jackson's garage. It's a garage in 500 Republica, that is like, it's a ground level garage, so you're not going to like one of these mega towers. But you pull into this like auto repair shop basically that has like a deep garage underground that there's like a bunch of maintenance being done to. There's a big sign that says Jackson's Garage that like is lit up with kind of like blue neon lights. As you pull in and kind of go up to the front desk, there's a ton of like worker robots that are like making repairs on various ships that they all like look identical. They're all like standing upright, kind of like rusted orange like metal, like not skin but like orange like metal, like robotic parts, so they're all kind of like a uniform color with blue overalls, kind of like mechanics jumpsuits. And these bots are all named Tony, so there's just like a bunch of bots going around saying Tony solder, Tony, Tony, Tony drill, Tony, Tony bolt, Tony, Tony solder, Tony, Tony.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? This is Rama. I'm looking for Tony. If your name is Tony, please raise your hand.
We're all Tony, as they all like say in unison. And then you, as you're kind of messing around with all the Tony bots, a actual person comes out. You see a male Pantoran, who is a humanoid-looking like tall, about 6 foot tall, blue skinned humanoid with white and orange face painted streaks down his face. He wears a mechanic's black jumpsuit, but the sleeves have been completely torn off to allow for the bulk of his completely metal prosthetic arms, which connect to his torso at the shoulders. He walks around and he says, "Hey, who's messing with the Tonys?"
"Hey, that's me. Hey, hey, I got an idea. I got an idea." And, kind of be like, "If your name is Tony, turn around 3 times.
Tony, Tony, Tony." And they all, like, start spinning around, like, mid-work. And he says, "Get back to work, Tonys. Back to work, back to work, back to work."
I'm here to pick up my my Razor Crest. Her name is Thorn. The person who footed the bill for it is no longer with us.
Oh, jeez, you're kidding me. Rosie died?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what the philosophical implications of being a sentient AI is. I guess permanently shut off, but yeah, she died. It was,
Oof. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, she was a neat droid lady. She always paid in advance and, you know, always treated me well. So, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Your ship is completed. The Thorn is back up in tip-top shape. Yeah, it's just around in the garage. Oh, by the way, my name is Jack Sonahue. This is my garage.
Jack Sonahue. Nice to meet you. Ram of Iron. Anybody killed, I'll kill them as soon as I get my bounty hunter license back. Or brought in alive.
That is a hell of an offer. Yeah. And you see on his name tag, his full name is Jack Sonahue Molly Diaz, if you're interested in his full name.
That's awesome. You're really cool. I hope you show up later.
What? I mean, I'll just be at my garage, but yeah. Thank you. It's kind of cool meeting a Mandalorian, too. I don't see... It's the first time I really met one of yous, and, you know, to work on the Razor Crest. I mean, she's, like, a really beautiful piece of technology. You don't really see much kind of creative shipbuilding anymore, you know? Like, the Mandalorians have a real sense of, like, ganache, like, some style, you know? Some, like, real, you know, chutzpah in that... How they design that, you know, you guys just really carry yourself with a good sense of style. And I think the Mandalorian Razor Crest, you know, connection is a real symbol of kind of the height of shipbuilding culture. You know, he kind of like goes on about like kind of the specs of your ship and about how it was like a joy to work on. And he leads you to this like beautiful, like completely like renovated Razor Crest ship. That has like the base coat of like the chrome silver accented with the rose gold that was the same color as like Rosie's like body. And you see like a rose emblem that leads into a sprawling hand that says the Thorn on it on the side of the ship. You're able to like go into it if you'd like.
Awesome. I'm gonna wheel the drop the lift gate, wheel the bike into the back of it, and take a look around.
As you like lower the back ramp that allows you like load cargo into the hole. You see like everything on the inside has been like replaced or refurbished, so that's like in like close to original condition. Carbonite hold has been like repaired so that you can still like freeze people in carbonite if you need to. But otherwise it's like pretty much completely empty. You wheel the like gas bike into your Razor Crest, and as you look around, you notice something in the cockpit of your ship. You turn around one of the leather cushioned pilot's chairs, and you see that there is a jetpack and an envelope on the chair.
I'm going to pick it up.
Great. So the jetpack is kind of just like a standard jetpack. Basically, it's a personal aerial device that allows you to fly through the air in any direction. It gives you 30 feet of flying speed. The jetpack lasts for 1 minute per power cell, and it's fully loaded with 10 power cells at the moment. So you get 10 total minutes of flight time before you have to recharge your power cells. And then in the envelope, it has like Rosie's signature on it for you. If you open it up.
I'll open it up.
Of course. Yeah, you're not going to save that for later, right? and it just has like essentially a flash drive inside the envelope with like a little like rubber, like rose, like aglet basically like dangling off of it. And like on the tag of the flash drive, it says, for an OS update dash RZ.
I'm just going to plug it into the Razor Crest for the hologram.
You plug it into your ship and the ship boots up. Like your engines like fire automatically and like your entire ship boots up. And you see across your screen, like the holographic like heads up display starts loading in this new operating system. And you see just like a flash of different like download files like being uploaded onto your system. You notice that your like previous AI gets completely overwritten. And after a few minutes, like all your systems come up on your heads up display and you see like a little rose symbol like flash across the HUD and
no way.
A holographic version of Rosie appears on your ship's screen and says,
"Hello, I am Rosie. I am the new ship AI for the Razor Crest Thorn."
Rosie, I'm gonna wipe off the grime I put over the rose symbol to be like, you know, to show I'm ready to be back in our service. And I'm gonna look out into the stars, you know, and say, "We got a job to do."
Great, and you take off and get out of the garage, out of Jackson's garage, and you fly into the night. Your AI like starts talking to you a little bit and says,
"This is my first time on a flight, so you'll have to excuse me as I calibrate all your systems."
And you just see like the guns like auto fire for a second, like, and you're like, "Oh fuck!"
Safety has been turned on.
The ship just kind of like recalibrates itself for a second.
I want to make something clear, because I know that you knew my creator. I am not the entity known as Rosie. I am a copy of the essential functions of her AI. Unfortunately, my creator was unable to replicate the more astute and human versions of her own operating system that gave her so much life. So, I am an approximation.
I figured, considering you were on a flash drive. Anyway, I guess I'll have her in my memory.
Yes, we will all remember Rosie.
Yeah, and you guys just chill out in the atmosphere. The ship is yours to do with as you'd like. Are you going to head back to the Jedi Order?
Yeah, yep. I'm going to drive back and land, and I guess where Bronn sent me off, blow the drop gauge, and give him back the motorcycle. Like, here's the bike back. I forgot to fill it up with gas. You wouldn't believe how few gas stations there are in the future, so.
Oh, that's fine. Nice ship. Razor Crest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. She's pretty. I've been taking a look at your gun. This thing is heavy as fuck. And yeah. I realized that you could save some weight on it if you just took out some of the like the ornamentation on it. So I basically shaved down the barrel a little bit, took out some of the more ornamental metal plating, reduced the weight a little bit. You might be able to fire this in one hand. If you're strong enough. What's your strength score?
Strength is a flat zero. I got, because I have 11 strength, but 20 dex.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm sure if you worked out your arms a little bit, you might be able to fire this in one hand now. So it is now a one-handed weapon, but you do require a strength score of, I'm going to say, 14 to wield it. So you need to find some way to up your strength score. So think about that in the meantime.
Woo-wee.
Great. Well, Rama has his ship back. L has been given essentially temporary probation to go deal with the catastrophe in the Power and Lights District. And Akala has been promoted to Jedi Knight. And with that, we are going to end our session. Next time on Guild Fellows, we'll kick some ass.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.